Okay. All right, so, if you don't know me, my name is Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Yep. That's an awesome smile.
Hi, Kenny.
You ever considered being a model?
Yeah.
Nice. How did it go? Okay, today I was really praying about what to say, because we're not in the middle of a series or anything like that, and we have one more week to retreat. If you haven't signed up for a retreat, and you'd like to, you still can, I encourage you. If this hasn't been clear before, if money's an issue at all, just let us know. We have money set aside to help people who can't afford it. So if you at all would like to come to a retreat next week, please sign up. And online, you can just in the comment section kind of explain your situation. We will make sure you get there. So if you would like to come to a retreat, please come. So I was thinking today, like, what does God want me to say? You know, one more thing before a retreat, and then we're going to kind of hit it. And as I was praying about it, I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak about His presence. And so, how many of you guys have heard people say, like, oh man, you should have been there last night at that, like, worship service or whatever, because, like, God's presence was there? How many of you guys have heard someone say that? Okay, right? How many of you guys have had an experience where you walked away from it and you were like, wow, God's presence was there? How many of you guys? Okay. How many of you guys, when I'm like, presence, does that mean like God gives gift, like little packages with like ribbons on it or something? Like, or you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about when you say God's presence. How many? Anybody? Okay. Is that a hand?
Raised for all of them.
Okay, raised for all of them, all three. Okay. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to talk about that today. You know, we sing a lot of songs about God's presence, you know? You guys know the song? Here we are. What song again? How's it go? In your presence, thinking of the good things you have done. Right? Yeah? Or like, how about the one I had stuck in my head all day? Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. No? Okay, you guys know that song? Or, how about, your presence is all I want, all I need. No, na na na, and without it, there's no meaning. I will exalt you. Or, Lord, let your glory fall, right? As on that ancient day. No, yeah, that's a good song. Okay, and then or consuming fire, fan to flame. Remember, it's like the beginning, like, Lord, let your glory fall, right? Like, Lord, let your glory fall. Come and stop. Right? You know, right? Like, you know, and we talk about God's presence. And I was actually having a conversation with Josh Young, the worship pastor at SCF. And we were like, you know, like, sometimes when you hear people talk about God's presence, it's almost like they enjoy God's presence more than they actually enjoy God. You know? They're like, oh, I just love it when you go to like a worship service and it's just like, oh, right? You know? And they like love that more than they love Jesus. And they talk about that more than they talk about Jesus, you know? And you're kind of like, that seems a little bit messed up, right? When you're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's kind of like, oh man, I love my wife. When I, you know, hang out with her, I love to go tell everybody about my times hanging out with her. Like, what? No, I like to actually be with it, right? You know? So I was just thinking about this, and as I was thinking about it, I realized part of the reason for the confusion is this. God's presence, right? Him being somewhere. With that, is always constant for us. If you are a Christian, God takes His Holy Spirit, and He puts it inside of you. So God's presence is always with you, right? Hebrews 13:5 says, God said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Right? That's Hebrews 13:5. John 10:28, Jesus says, God has given me, like, the men and women that I've chosen, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Meaning that they're constantly with Him, right? This week at this week and last week at Dive, the middle school group at SAS, we've been talking about Psalm 23. And you guys probably know this passage, right? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the waters, blah, blah, right? Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, right? His presence is constant with us. And then what does it say at the end? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord. I will dwell down the street from the Lord's place all the days of my life. No, right? I will dwell next door to where God lived. No. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will be in the same place that He lives. Does that make sense? So we're always constant with Him. Well, then what is it that our people are talking about? And they're like, oh, God's presence fell, right? Well, I would say, when we read in Scripture, because in Scripture you have times where this happens and people talk about it. But normally what they call it is when God's glory falls. It's like God's glory fell, right? Or God's glory came down, or God's glory, like, filled the room, or filled the temple, or filled the person, or something like that, right? And you see these happen in the Bible, and we're going to talk about some of these stories today. But kind of this, what I'm trying to describe when we're talking about this idea is like, where you can like almost feel God in the room. Like no one has to tell you, oh, God's here, you know, He's everywhere. You just like, you can tell that He's there. You know that He's there, right? Often coming along with it, there's this like sense of reverence, this like, don't talk, right? Like, don't talk right now. There's this sense of like holiness. There's often a sense of like, wow, I'm really small. Or sometimes there's a sense like, wow, I'm really free, right? Or there's whatever. But when God's glory shows up, you see all these things coming out. How many of you guys have ever been in a situation where you've experienced that? You were like somewhere and you were like, wow, I can like tell that God is here. How many of you guys? Yeah, a few of you guys? Many of you guys. Okay. What were some of those guys? You don't want to share? Some of you guys want to share experiences? Anybody?
All the extended worship at retreat I've been to.
Really? Every year? Okay. Okay, so extended worship at retreat? Yeah.
Yeah.
Amplified? Okay, yeah. Yeah, we're like, you just stare and you're like, wow, God's here. Like, He's here. The person's like, God's always there. You're like, no, but He's here. Like, I know He's here, right? Yeah. Yeah, any of you guys at times like that?
Sometimes when I'm just regular days where it's just sunny and I can feel a sense of peace and I can forget about the different worries and
And you just feel God's presence with you. Yeah. You know, one kid named Andrew, who used to be in SOAR 5 or 6 years ago, he's now in Canada, going to college. He told me one day he was just spending time with the Lord and he really wanted to get alone and didn't want anyone to bug him. So he grabbed his guitar and he went in the bathroom and sat on the toilet and played his guitar and worshiped. And God's presence just like came on him so strong, he just started weeping in the bathroom. He's in the bathroom with his guitar. crying as God does it. Actually, just this week, me and Katie, Kalila was really sick. And so we were like, she was just crying constantly, and she was in Katie's arms, and so crying, and so I just grabbed my guitar, because she likes music, and I just started singing and worshiping, and she fell asleep, and then we just started singing the song we sang last week at youth group, what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? Yeah, what in this life? And as I began to sing, I just rolled up and I couldn't sing anymore. I was like, and I'm like not looking at Katie because I'm all embarrassed. Yeah, but I just felt God's presence coming and be like, hey, I am everything to you. Like, I am everything, you know? And anyway, so you guys know what I'm talking about, or maybe you've never experienced this. I'll just say God wants to show Himself to you like this. He wants to show you in this very real, tangible way. And there are often what happens among Christians is we like seek this so much and we seek to like live in this place where we constantly have this tangible experience of the Lord that when we aren't there, we feel like we're bad Christians, we feel like we're falling away from the Lord, we feel like we're failures, right? But the truth is that God gives us these things in at times. If you look through Scripture, there's even the prophets, right? Like these people who heard directly from God. You know, like Moses, who the Bible says he talked to God like a man talks face to face. Moses had times when he was like, forget it, I'm done, right? He wasn't all like, oh, I'm so happy in the presence of the Lord, all right? He had nasty days, but he had other days where he like saw the Lord really close. And that's how our lives are as well. And so, but I think in response to that, I've kind of come out and been like, okay. And someone's like, oh my gosh, I had this experience with the Lord. And my first response will be like, good, I'm so glad. Hang on to that, because it's not going to last forever. But don't worship that. Just take it, you know? And what I've realized is, as I thought about it this way, God really spoke to me this at Leadership on Monday, was I've slowly settled into a place where I stopped seeking that experience with the Lord. Does that make sense? I kind of like downplayed its importance to the point where I stopped seeking it. But I don't think this is right. I think that God wants us to desire to experience his presence in this way, you know, where like his glory falls and we see things tangibly. Now, we are in no place to demand things of God, ever, of anything, right? Like, we breathe because he, each moment is like, yes, you can breathe, right? Like, we can't be like, God, I deserve this, right? We cannot demand anything of it. But we should seek for this from the Lord and ask him for it, I believe. And God will give it in his love, right? God will give it in his grace. So, right, yeah, so we should seek him. Exodus 33. Does someone want to, you guys want to flip there? Exodus 33, got your Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and Michaela will give you one. Hand them out. Papa. Exodus 33, so it should be at the beginning of your Bible.
You guys all have...
Wait, Genesis or Exodus?
Exodus 33. Verse 11. Can someone read verse 11?
Verse 11.
All right, go ahead, read it.
Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting.
Good. Okay. So how would Moses talk to God?
Face to face.
Like a man talks to his friend, right? Isn't that crazy? I don't know about you, but that would be awesome. If I had a choice, if God's like, hey, I'll give you one thing. What do you want? I was like, I want. Let's talk, bro. You know, like, right? Like, if I want to talk to him face to face. That would be crazy. This is what Moses' experience with the Lord was when he's going to meet the Lord, right? So he's regularly meeting with the Lord like this. So what do you think he would ask for, right? When God's like, hey, Mo, bro, right? Hey, Moses, what do you want? What do you think he'd ask for? Let's look at verse 18. What does he say?
I have it.
So, Hugh, you want to read it?
Okay. Then Moses said, now show me your glory.
So what does he ask for? He asks to see God's glory, right? So he's living in this relationship with God where he's hearing God and speaking to God like a man talks to his friend face to face. And then he's like, okay, God, but I want more, right? I want to see you more. I want to experience you more. I don't want to just those experiences I had are great and all. Fuel me through. It's like, no, I want more of you. I want to experience you, right? I want to see your glory. And what does God respond? If you can read it yourself, but God basically says, well, if you were to see my face and my glory, you would die. So let's not do that. Instead, I'm going to put you in this like kind of hole in the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand, and I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to declare my goodness before you. And you'll get to know as you hear, and then you can see my back. You can see, but you can't see my face, because if you see my face, you'll die. Right? So then God showed him his glory, and he learned more. And I just hope that we learn from Moses' example, that we never get to a point where we're satisfied and content with our relationship with God completely, but always want more of him. Right? I have to say, I am so guilty personally of this. of getting to a point in my relationship with God where I'm just kind of like, okay, it's pretty good, you know? God's great, I'm glad I know him, yeah. And yeah, we're having another retreat, great, you know, I hope it's good, I hope people, you know. And I just felt this Monday as I was praying, I was like, no, Lord, I want to see your glory fall, right? I want to see your face. I want to see, like, it come down, like, I want to be in there in that room, and, like, nobody in the room, like, talking or standing up or anything, because everybody there is like, oh my gosh, something, someone is here in power. That's what I want to see, right, next weekend. That's what I want to see every week at SOAR, right? And I know, like, I'll do it sometimes, and sometimes it won't. He's sovereign, and I trust him. But I want to seek him for that and ask him for that, right? And I guess God really convicted me because I kind of haven't been seeking. I've just kind of been coasting and satisfied with where I was. So, today what I want to talk about is how do we, like, welcome that? Does that make sense? How do we be a people who kind of, like, welcome not only God's constant presence, but, like, those moments, like, where he just comes in power and, like, blows the house out, right? You know, like, how do we welcome his work? I just, before we dive in, I'll tell you about a few times that I remember that I've experienced this. This was at Devoted Retreat. Was anyone at Devoted? Okay, you were at Devoted, yeah. Remember at Devoted, we were praying, or it was afterwards, and we were, like, singing together, and we sang the song, "Where you go, I'll go, where you stay, I'll stay," right? And when it was over, and I was leading worship, and it just ended, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, don't say anything." So I just stopped playing, I sat back to the mic, and it was like dead silence, like dead silence, and everyone's just standing there. Nobody's moving, and we were just like, God is here. And God spoke to me. He's like, I put you in front of the mic. I have a message for you to give. Like, say it. Say, you don't mean that song. Right? Like that, where you go. Where you stay, I'll say. Who you love, I'll love. I'll do, like, I'll do all that. I promise that. Because you don't mean that. I say that. And I was like, I get it. And actually, there's a video of the moment. And it's funny because you can see me. I walk up to the mic and I'm like, I was so scared, and finally, I just said it, and then God was like, "Tell everyone to get on their knees," and I was like, "That's manipulative, right? Like that's telling people, oh, get on your knees, like that's trying to like make God's presence come and stuff. Like they should, you know, willingly do it, or whatever." But God was just like, "Don't get on your knees." So I was like, okay. So finally, I was like, I didn't know how to say it either, right? Get on your knees. I just opened my mouth, and what came out was, would you just join me on my knees, on our knees? And then I got on my knees, and everybody, and I, like, I couldn't see anybody in the whole stadium, in the whole auditorium, because everyone was just on the floor, kneeling. And I was like, man, I hope this is the right call. I hope I heard the Holy Spirit right. Like, but at the same time, you just feel like God is here, right? And then I just start hearing weeping. I just hear it start weeping and breaking out all over the place. And God is just like breaking people and saying, like, hey, you haven't fully surrendered. You won't go everywhere I go. You won't, you know, love the way that I love. Like, I want to use you, but I'm breaking. People just started repenting and crying. And then eventually I saw kids going up and walking to other kids and praying for them. And then like worship songs breaking out, like different people singing. And then finally, towards the end, somebody in the front started singing, "Here I am at your feet, in my brokenness complete." And everyone was like, that's the song. It just like swelled. And then it was in the right key even. And I just started playing along with my guitar. And it was just this moment of like, wow, God is here and God is working. And God is moving, right? How many of you guys desire to see God like that? To be in a moment like that, right? Have God working in your life like that. That's what I desire too, right? That's what I want so badly. And I think what has happened for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, I've forgotten that. I've been kind of just satisfied with just, oh, I'll just read my Bible. I'll just, you know, give a message. I'll just worship or whatever. But and my approach to a time of worship has not been like, where I come in ready to worship and say, God, I want to see you like that today. Or my time in the Word is not coming where I listen to a message or I give a message and I'm like, God, I want your glory to fall like that and to impact me like that. I haven't been asking him even for it. I've just been kind of satisfied with where I was, right? And I don't know where you guys are. I don't know if you're in the same place as me or not. But I just needed to repent before the Lord and say, hey, I want this. I really want you. And maybe if you're listening and you're like, well, okay, Kenny, where is this in the Bible? Like, where are you getting all this from? Well, let me go through what I'm going to say, and then I'll kind of show you how this is from Scripture. Okay, so first, things we do to welcome God's presence. Number one is the fear of God, to fear God. Number two is prayer and praise, prayer and worship, right? And number three is to not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other things as well, but these are just the three that I asked the Lord to be to. So the first one, fear of God. I saw this video by Francis Chan this week. He was talking about the fear of God.
Basic series?
Yeah, the basic series. Have you watched that?
We watched it in Thailand.
Oh, wow. So you just watched it. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the first one, fear God, the lady in the black dress floating in the room. You've seen it. I know it's weird. But but he talks about this. When you hear fear of the Lord, so Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? So when I say fear of the Lord, what's the first thing you think of? What do you think?
Awe.
Awe, right? Wow. Okay? Reverence, right? Like, what else? Like, yeah, repent, right? I am a sinner, right? Yeah, right?
Not
what else?
Worthy.
Fear of the, huh?
Not worthy.
Yeah, I'm unworthy to be here. Yeah, I don't deserve to be here. What else?
Makes me think of Isaiah and how he said, I'm a man of unclean lips.
Yeah,
I
got unclean lips,
and
I come with people with unclean lips.
Yeah.
I can't come before you, right? Yeah. I think most of the time, when I preach on this, and I hear other people preach about it too, the fear of the Lord, they'll talk about like, now, okay, so it says the fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. Let's understand. Fear of the Lord does not mean you're like, ah, Lord, I fear you, I'm freaking out here. It means like a reverence for the Lord. It means like, an honoring of the Lord. It is a honoring and it is a fear. I mean, it is a reverence and it is like an honor. But let me tell you, every time someone meets God in the Bible, what do?
They fall down terrified.
They freak out. They like freak out, right? Okay, so like I went through the major prophets and I was like, I wonder what it's like when each of them see a vision of the Lord, right? So first Isaiah, right? Isaiah sees the Lord, and this is Isaiah 6. You can go back and read it later. He has this vision and he's in the throne room of God, right? And there's like God on his throne and there's these two angels going back and forth saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy. And they're saying it so loud that the doorposts are rattling as at the angels' voices as they're crying out, holy is the Lord. Can you imagine like being in a room and like the walls are shaking because and you can feel it in your feet as they're like saying it so loud. Ah, right? And it says that's how he responded. He fell down and he was like, woe is me. If you don't know what woe is me means, it means I am basically screwed, you know, like, it's over for me, like, whoa, I'm dead, right? It means like, okay, it was a good life, right? Okay, woe is me, that's what it means. He's like, woe is me, I'm a sinner, I am a man of unclean lips, I live among people of unclean lips, okay? Jeremiah 1, have you guys looked at that? Jeremiah comes, and he's before God in a vision, and his first response. And God says to him, hey, I've called you, I'm going to use you, you're going to go. And his first response is not like, well, yeah, you picked me, Lord? All right, good choice, right? Like, his first response is like, well, no. I am completely inadequate. I'm just a boy. I'm very young. I can't, right? Like, he recognizes his smallness before the Lord. Ezekiel 1:28, Ezekiel 1:28, it says that he fell flat on his face. He saw the Lord, and he fell flat on his face, and he was like, oh, my gosh, right? Daniel, you can look this up in Daniel 10, verses 5 through 9 and 15 through 19. And basically, Daniel's really interesting. he sees this image of basically Jesus, right? And it says that he, like, falls on his face and passes out. Yeah, it says he like, fell asleep or, like, passed out. And he's like, what happened? And then he, like, wakes up, and then he's like, hey, man, like, don't be afraid. I'm for you, basically, okay? But, and then John, in Revelations, he, same thing. John, Revelations 1:17, he sees Jesus, he sees God, and boom, straight on his face. He falls on his face like a dead man, it says. So if we see the Lord, if we were in this moment, God were to show up in all of his glory, we would all go flat on our faces. And I think sometimes this is part of the reason, part of what like makes it, part of the reason God's presence doesn't come is because we don't have a proper fear of him. Does this make sense? Like, because we don't properly honor him as who he is, as holy, as awesome. I find this really interesting. Francis Chan pointed this out in that video. Basically, what God does, God's love, right? Right? 1 John says God is love. I would expect him to be like, you know, show up, the guy sees him, and right away, before he even gets like, he just says, hey, wait, don't be afraid, you know, like, I am crazy awesome and crazy bigger than you and more holy, but I love you. And I'm for you, so don't freak out, okay? Right? Good? Not freaking out? All right, we're good, right? That's what I expect the Lord to do. But in every single one of these stories, you can go back and look at it. Every single one of the stories, what does God do? He lets them fall flat on their face and lay there for a while. And then he comes over and he like, hey, fear not. I'm for you, right? In almost every single one of these stories, he lets the person get completely scared and soil their pants, you know, like basically that. And then he comes and he says, hey, fear not, I'm for you. Why would he do this? If God's really love, why would he do this?
So you can get a proper picture of him.
Exactly. Exactly, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And hey, if he were to come in and I'm like, I'm going to die because he's so crazy awesome and more powerful than me. Ayo, 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 ayo. And then after that, he comes and he says, I'm for you, now go. Now when I'm going out, am I afraid of anything? No, because who's behind me, right? But if God were to cut that off early, then I would go, oh, can God really defend me? Is he really strong enough to get what for me to do what he's called me to do? Oh, I don't know, right? Do you guys see? But instead, God lets fear, the fear of him be the beginning of wisdom, right? Be the beginning of it. And as we understand that, then we have power to go out, right? So I think the first thing that we should do to welcome God is to fear him. And maybe you're like this. Well, Kenny, that's great. I'm glad Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these guys had crazy visions of God. I personally have never had a vision of Jesus like that that caused me to pass out and lay down like a dead man. Just so you know, I haven't either. But here's the thing to remember. Whether or not we've seen that vision, it's still true. Right? It's still true, and we still should honor God as such. Does that make sense? We still should honor him that way, even if we haven't had that firsthand experience. And I believe that as we get closer and closer to the Lord, we'll see more and more of that. And someday, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you'll go to heaven and you'll get to experience it firsthand. That's going to be awesome, you know? Like, you know, like the scariest roller coaster you've been on that you live to tell about? That's like the best roller coaster, right? You're like, woohoo, this was awesome. I think heaven's going to be the same way. We're going to meet Jesus. We're going to be freaked out of our minds, and it's going to be incredible, right? Because he's going to be just so far beyond what we could ever imagine, right? Okay, good. So what does this mean super practically? Super practically, this means, this is why, like, we don't play on our iPhones during church, right? We don't talk with our friends about Pokemon while the Word of God is being preached, right? This is why we don't joke about farts during worship, right? Right? The reason we don't do these things is because we fear God. Does that make sense? And if we understand who he is, when we're trying to honor him, we don't talk about that stuff. Do you guys get this? I mean, because God really is like this. Whether you acknowledge it or not, God is fearsome, right? He is also so loving, and that's what's so incredible about it. But his love is even more incredible when you start at the beginning, which is the fear of the Lord, right? It's the beginning of wisdom. All right. Second is prayer and praise. So the first thing is fearing the Lord. It's my desire that we as a youth group would see God's presence come. And I think one place that's got to start for us is we got to start in our hearts honoring him as Lord, fearing him as who he really is, right? All right, so the second thing is prayer and praise. In Acts 1, does someone want to flip there? Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. And then can someone else look up 2 Chronicles 7:1? Acts 1?
What was the verse?
You got Acts 1, 12 through 14. Can someone get 2 Chronicles 7:1? Somebody?
Acts 1 what?
Acts 1, verses 12 through 14.
In 2 Chronicles 7:1?
Yep. Alright, do you want to read Acts?
Okay. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill that called the Mountain of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Okay, so what's happening here? Do you guys know what the story is? This is right after Jesus has gone up into heaven, right? So Jesus lived, and then he came back to life, and then he hung out with his disciples for 40 days, yeah? And then he took them to a mountain, and then he just, like, went up. He just, like, boom, levantense, because it was Spanish word, levitated, right? Like, straight up into the clouds, and then he was like, hey, go in the city and pray. I'm going to send the Spirit. So then they went back to the city, and 40 days later, and this is what they did. They prayed for 40 days, constantly in prayer. And at the end of 40 days, what happened? You guys know Pentecost? Pentecost, you can read the next chapter. Spirit of God falls in one of the most intense ways ever, right? And they hear, they're in this room and they just hear, they hear this mighty rushing wind in the room. And then fire just comes out of nowhere. And then it like runs through the room and like little tiny tongues of fire, they call it, were like sitting over their heads. Wouldn't that be creepy? Wouldn't you like, okay, yep, God is here. Uh-huh, yep, I think so, right? Right, and wouldn't it be incredible to be there? I don't know about you, I would love to have been there, right? And then everyone just starts speaking in languages they don't understand, right? Everyone's just like speaking, and they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, why is everyone babbling? And then the people on the street are like, dude, I'm from, like, Timbuktu, and you're speaking Timbuktuese. Like, what in the world, right? You know, like, people are understanding them, and they're declaring the glory of God in languages they've never learned, right? They knew God was there. I desire that. What happened before? What was in the buildup? Prayer. They're seeking the Lord in prayer. You want to read 2 Chronicles 7:1?
When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of God filled the temple.
Read the next one, too.
The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, filled it.
Good. Okay, so basically this is when they built the temple, and Solomon, like, offers the sacrifice, and then he prays this long prayer, where he's like, hey, you know, Lord, would you just, like, meet us in this temple? Could this temple be a place where man meets with you? And when he's done, fire comes from heaven and whoosh, like burns up the offering on the altar. And then the glory of God comes out and just like fills up the temple. And it's so thick that the priests can't go in to do their jobs. Can you imagine like a room being so thick with God's presence that you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go lead worship here. You know what I mean? Like so thick that they could not stand to do their job. Man, that'd be incredible to see that, right? And I've had moments, I know, I mean, I think that night at Devoted Retreat was one of them, where I'm on the floor and I'm just like, you better not stand up, Kenny. Like, you know, like, I mean, I physically could have, I think, but it just would have felt so disrespectful because I knew God. I was like, there. And I desire that. I want that, right? And God came in that to bless his people and let them know that he was there with them, right? So that came as Solomon prayed, right? All right. Then the next thing is in worship and prayer. And maybe you've experienced this. I feel like this is one of the most common ways or common times that we see the Lord's presence is when is in worship. You know, how many of you guys have been in a worship service where you were like, people were singing and then you were like, wow, God's presence is here, right? You felt it, okay. I feel like that's one of the most common ways, and we see this as well. You're in 2 Chronicles. Can you flip back two chapters, chapter 5, and look at verses 13 and 14? Read that.
The trumpeters and the singers joined in unison, as with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple with fire.
Right. So what happened? The worship team got up, they're on their trumpets and stuff, and clanging cymbals. That'd be awesome. Why do our worship teams not have trumpets and huh? I mean, just like a guy on a trumpet and a guy like, no, right? All right, but they had a worship team and they're worshiping, and what happens? Like, God's presence just falls like a cloud, fills the whole thing, and the worship team has to quit playing because it's just so thick, right? That'd be awesome. I got it. And we see in Psalms 22:3, you can look this up later, it says, God, you are enthroned on the praises of Israel, right, of your people. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. Right? So we see that in his praise, that's where God often is. Right? Okay. And I've seen this, actually, my very second week at SOAR. So, if you didn't know this, I'm 29 years old.
Not so old.
I'm so old, right? But I was in SOAR as a student 13 years ago, or whatever it was, and my first week at SOAR, I came, I was like, oh, that's great. The second week, they were like, oh, can you help us lead worship? So my second week at SOAR, I was like playing the guitar for worship, and the guy picked a song with like, if you play guitar, like bar chords, and it was like, oh my gosh, and he repeated it 16 times, so we played for like 10 minutes, all bar chords, and my finger was like, anyway, side note. But we were leading worship, I remember, and this girl who had no experience with the Lord, didn't know anything about God, she was first time at SOAR. I was like playing, and she was like right here. And she was sitting cross-legged on the floor, and in the middle of our like, God says yes, and I know that I'm blessed, or something like that. I don't remember what we were singing, some song. She just starts weeping and weeping and weeping. And the youth pastor at the time, her name was Angie, she came over, she's like, hey. And she's like, ah! And she's like, hey. And she's like, I have no idea why. I'm crying. I'm so sorry. I can't stop crying. I don't know why. And he was like, it's okay. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, like. And then she's like, ah! She accepted the Lord that day. And I was in youth group with her for like a couple months. And I think she graduated or whatever. But I ran into her randomly at Pudong Airport. Like 5 years later, 6 years later. And she was wearing an Urbana t-shirt, which, you guys know what Urbana is, it's like this Christian college, like, organization. And she was, like, following the Lord and, like, strong in her faith and following Jesus. Her family was still not Christian. But, yeah, and I was like, whoa, right? But that's kind of what happens often when God's presence comes in worship, right? He just, like, meets people there. Okay, last thing is this. So first thing is fear the Lord. Second thing is in prayer and worship. We can't ever let those things not be a part of our life. Right? If you go, let me say this. This is a deep sentence you need to listen to, right? 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. It makes 1 week, right? 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. All right, you can all groan collectively now, right? No, but it's true. This is true. If we want to see God's presence, thank you for that smile and judgmental glance. If we want to see God's presence, we have to be people who are regularly in worship and in prayer. It's kind of silly. We're like, why are we not seeing God in church? And then we haven't sought him. Right? We need to seek him and worship him for everyone expensive. All right, the last thing is this. Don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, don't quench the Holy Spirit with which you were sealed for the day of salvation. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 says, don't quench the Spirit, but instead test everything to see whether it's good or evil. Pour that which is evil, clean to that which is good. That's what it says. So basically it says, don't quench the Spirit and don't grieve the Spirit. Let me tell you a story about three retreats ago. Corey, you guys know Corey? She was a counselor. She was leading worship, and I was like leading worship with her, I think. And while we were leading worship, she was like, hey, you know, like, the Lord just wants to say this to me. Some of you, if you need to have an experience with the Lord, if you need, like, God to, like, really show you that he's real, God's just saying, hold out your hand like this, and he's going to, like, show something, like, show, like, make you, let you feel something. And I was kind of like, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know if I agree with that. I just outside of my box of what, like, God does, right? You know, I just was unsure about that. So I just kind of prayed. And I was like, all right, Lord, you know, give me wisdom, whatever, that sort of thing. Then the next day at testimonies, there were, like, four or five people who stood up and was like, I was like, you know, at that time, I was like, God, are you real? And they put their hands out, and they felt God, like, holding their hands. And, like, God was like, yeah, I'm real, and I'm with you. And they were like, oh, you know, right? And that was just like, okay, wow, that was from the Lord. But I think oftentimes what we do is we quench the Holy Spirit, or we grieve the Holy Spirit when he doesn't work in the ways that we expect. Does that make sense? When, like, he comes and he meets us in a way we're not expecting, or a place, in a way that we're kind of uncomfortable with, he meets us that way, and then we're like, you know, I don't know, this kind of, right? What does it say? Don't quench, instead, test, right? Test. If it's good, hang on to it. If it's bad, reject it. There are, I went to a phrase where, a phase in my life, where if someone said, thus saith the Lord, or I have a prophecy for you, or something like that, I was automatically like, okay, you're wacko, right? Like, that's not from the Lord, right? But that's wrong. How's the Bible say, this verse say that we should do it? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't shut it down, right? Instead, test. See if it's good or see if it's not. There was a woman preaching at SCF one week. It was actually funny because me and Katie came here. I was trying super hard to impress her because we weren't dating yet. And she was here, and me and Jensen, the other guy, and her were talking for like 2 weeks. We were debating, this was during our Habitat for Humanity trip. We were debating whether or not women should be pastors, right? Because in the Bible, there's a couple passages about, like, women should not teach in the church, and I should have authority over man, or whatever. We're like, how does that work? We were just debating this back and forth, like, okay, what does Scripture really teach about this? And we got to my church, and it was the first week at SCF, and I was hoping Katie'd have a great impression of my church and think, like, wow, you have such an amazing church, Kenny, and you're such an amazing person, and you're so handsome, I want to marry you. Like, that's what I was hoping about, right? Okay, so we show up to church, and I'm leading worship, so I can't even sit with her and tell her what's going on, right? And I'm done leading worship, and I sit down, and we have a guest speaker today, and the guest speaker gets up, and it's a woman who's going to preach. It's like, we want to welcome Pastor and whoever, and I was just like, oh, like, oh, great. And then she gets up, and she's like, first thing she describes, right, she's like, where's that worship leader? Huh? Where's the guy who's leading worship? Can he come back up here? Where's the worship leader? And so I was like, okay. So I came on out, and I just, like, stood there, and she's like, I have a word for you. Pastor. You're not a pastor now, but you will be a pastor. Pastor. God's spoken pastor over you. Pastor. Okay, you can sit down. And I was like, okay. Oh no, Katie's like gonna freak out, you know, right? And then she gave her message, and I frankly disagreed with a lot of what she said in her message, right? So I was really tempted to just completely write it off. But here's what's really interesting. It was in that season that God began to move me from being kind of like a youth worker who hung out with youth and kind of like did stuff, to someone who had a shepherd's and pastor's heart. it was during that season, right after that, I didn't notice until later, but right after that when God was like, hey, a couple things happened in youth group, it was at SOAR, like, some guy was flirting with a girl, like, inappropriately, so I, like, went over to his house, I was like, hey, can I spend the night? He's like, sure. And then I spent the night, and I'm playing video games, and 1 a.m. I was like, what the heck? Not in my youth group. Not with the girls in my youth group that I'm in charge of, that I'm like, you know, you not mess with them, boy. What do you think? I would not mess with them in my youth group. You know, like, that's kind of what I did. I kind of like laid into him. He was like, oh. He had the fear of God in him. He understood the fear of God, right? He's not even good at that, right? And I was like, but why? Because God had been giving me the spirit of a pastor, of a shepherd, right? To defend the flock, right? Before it was just like, I'll try to impact people in a good way. I'll try to be a youth worker. But God kind of shifted me during that season to be someone who had a pastor. Does this make sense? A pastoral heart. And even though I felt like I didn't agree with much of what this woman taught, right? And the way it happened was kind of like weird for me. And I was really tempted just to dismiss it because of where it came from. What did I need to do? Not quench the spirit, but instead test it. Right? And what did I find as I tested it? It was from the Lord. It was from the Lord. Okay? So that's the last thing as we welcome the Holy Spirit. Don't shut it down. I think here's what also happens. Just on the one hand, we have, oh, this is outside my box. I'm not going to accept it, right? That's on the other hand. Sometimes we're seeking the Lord, and He doesn't show up right away or in the way that we expect. And we need to wait on Him. Right? We need to wait patiently on Him. And sometimes what we do as we're waiting on Him is we're like, oh, next thing on the schedule. All right, let's go. And I think the Holy Spirit is so grieved in those moments, right? I think when the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm going to come, I'm going to work, I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden the people He's about to work with are like, pizza, right? I think the Holy Spirit is grieved in those moments when we don't listen to Him and allow Him to do the work that He wants to do. Does this make sense? Like, the Holy Spirit will not, it's very, very rare that the Holy Spirit will force Himself on someone. There's like one or two times in the Bible where it happens. One where like Saul, it's kind of a funny story. I don't know if I should tell this to your parents. The story is basically he's going to try to kill Samuel. And Samuel's like, no, you're not going to kill me. And so Saul starts like prophesying and he strips off all his clothes and lays down naked in the dirt for like 3 days. It's a really weird story. I don't know why God did it, but He did. The Holy Spirit just like whacked him, okay? But almost all other times in Scripture, you see, the Holy Spirit doesn't force Himself. He comes where He's welcomed. Does this make sense? If you are resisting Him, He often won't come. But He is so grieved. He is so grieved when He wants to come and bring healing to your heart, to bring wholeness to you, right? When He wants to come in and He's like, hey, I want to bring freedom and forgiveness here. And we're like, no, 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 I'm not willing to forgive. My bitterness is more important. Right? I think the Holy Spirit is so grieved in that moment. Right? When He comes in and He says, hey, like, I see that addiction that you have and I want to set you free. And we're like, no, 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 you can't come in. I love my sin. I think the Holy Spirit is so grieved. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to stop anything He wants to do. Because I know whatever He's doing is for my good, right? Whatever He's doing is for my good. So this is my encouragement for us. Let's be people who are welcome, who welcome God's Spirit. When it happens in ways that we're not exactly used to, test it and see if it's from the Lord. See, like, compare it to Scripture, right? Compare it to the character of God. And then turn away what's evil and hang on to what's good, right? But then also be willing to be patient and be open to God and let Him do what He wants in our hearts. Does this make sense? So that's the last one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. And the one before, prayer, worship. We need to be people of prayer and worship regularly, right? And then the first one, which is the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of it all. Learn to fear the Lord. I pray that next weekend when we're away, God's glory ball stick, right? I pray that it does, and I just want it so badly to come. And this is just what I want to ask: Would you guys who are coming to retreat, would you come with me in the fear of God, and this week pray and worship and ask the Lord to show up like that this next weekend? You know, would you come and this week as we prep and go towards retreat, be like, God, is there anything in my heart that, like, is resisting your Holy Spirit? Is there anything inside of me that's grieving you? I want to get that out of the way so that when Friday and Saturday and Sunday arrive, you can just have full reign and all that's happening. Do you guys hear this? That's my desire, is that we as a youth group would go to retreat with that kind of expectation, that kind of heart, that kind of togetherness, right? Welcoming God. So I don't know what that means for you, because that means different things for each of us. But maybe even as I'm speaking, the Lord is speaking to some of you guys and saying, hey, you've been grieving me in this way. Like, open up and let me in. Or maybe you've been resisting me in this way. Open up and let me in. Or maybe God's saying, hey, look, you haven't taken your relationship with me serious enough. It's been flippant for you. Like, oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm a Christian, right? And you haven't really feared me. Or maybe the Lord's saying to you, hey, like, you don't ever talk. You don't pray. You don't talk. Worship. I don't know what the Lord is saying to you, but I want to call you up, right? Like, don't, like, leave the shame behind. Say to the Lord, hey, God, I'm sorry about this in the past, but this week, let's do it. Let's go for it, right? And not just for this next week, but, like, as our youth group, for every Saturday, let's seek the Lord's presence, right? Seek for His glory to fall and be with us. Let's pray. God, I just want to come before you. And first, we just acknowledge that you're a lot bigger than us, and you're a lot stronger than us, and we are nothing before your holiness and your majesty. But God, we thank you that you reach down and you touch us in our fear and say, don't fear. I'm for you. I'm with you and I'm for you. God, we pray that we would be there. God, I just want to say for us here, we're open to whatever your Holy Spirit wants to do. Like, we don't want to resist any part of it, God. Even if it scares us, freaks us out, is uncomfortable, messes up our lives, our plans for our lives, we want your Holy Spirit. We want to be wide open to everything that you want to do. We care more about you coming and working and what you desire than we do about what other people think of us or about our plans, God. But we want your plans when we want our own plans. God, I just ask that your presence would fall on the sword. God, may it be a regular occurrence here, Jesus. And Lord, I don't know when you'll send it or when you will not, but and that's fine, but I just want to say as your child, as your kid here, that I want it. We want it. We want your presence. We want to experience you here with us. We want to know you. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds, and what I'd like you just to do is just speak to the Lord and let Him know, like, the desire of your heart on this issue, on what we talked about today. Just let Him know your desire for Him, if you have it. And if you don't have desire for Him, but you want it, then ask Him for that. Or if you have no desire for Him at all and don't even want it, then just ask God, why? Show me why I should want you. Show me what you like. God, we just thank you for your presence, that you're here with us. Like, whether we feel it or not, you're here with us. You're always with us. Your presence is with us. But God, we also just want to say that we desire to see your glory fall. We desire for those experiences where we just can see, like, and touch and feel you, God. And Lord, we just pray that as we seek you, we know that we'll find you. God, we pray that you would help us to seek you with all of our heart. Lord, we just want to, I just ask for your people here. I pray over them. I declare over them. I ask for you to give each of them an open heart to what you want to do. A surrendered spirit. A meek spirit that says, God, whatever you want, I'm open to that. And God, I pray that in response to that, your glory would just fall in their lives. That you just fill them up with your presence. God, we know that where your presence is, there's fullness of joy. Where your spirit is, there's freedom. God, where the Holy Spirit is, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And God, we want all these things. And we just ask that you come before us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Let's do this. I know we're late. I'm sorry. 2 minutes. Get in a group of four-ish and just share one story about a time where you experienced the Lord's presence. Maybe only one or two you get to share, but go. And then 2 minutes and then we're done. So go ahead and be active.